Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Finally, Tom, you continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season. And I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I'm, you know, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy them from my couch.
Couch potato Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
Tom, as always, we appreciate your time, and we will talk to you at halftime of the Packers 49ers.
All right. That was Tom Brady last Sunday with Jim Gray, who, of course, he does his weekly interviews with. And, of course, he was alluding to the two championship games, the AFC championship game and the NFC championship game. And Brady, the headline there, saying he's open-minded about his free agency. He could actually entertain playing for a different organization. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. Here's the thing. This is the biggest storyline in sports. This is the biggest free agent since LeBron James the first time he left Cleveland. And ironically, Jim Gray is the one doing the interviews with Tom Brady. Remember, Jim Gray is the same guy that was part of the decision at the Boys and Girls Club all those years ago when LeBron James said, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. So maybe Brady should do that. He's got a guy with experience. If you want to have one of the worst television specials of all time but get a ton of ratings, Brady should do the LeBron, do the decision. Can you imagine how pissed off Patriots fans would be if he did that? Imagine if Brady did the LeBron with Jim Gray. This summer or this season, I'm going to take my talents to Vegas. Can you imagine how pissed off Patriots fans would be if Tom Brady actually did that? Oh, man, what a horrible move by LeBron all those years ago. But Jim Gray, hey, Brady's buddies with Jim Gray. You could get it done. Brian Barrett with you, the number 617-779-7937. Let's get to Eddie. He's in the car. What's going on, Eddie? What's up, Eddie? I think we lost Eddie. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. All right, so I want to get into this Eli Manning conversation. So this week, that's been one of the biggest storylines is Eli Manning, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not a Hall of Famer? And his career record is 117-117. I'll get back to that in a second. Let's get to Eddie. He's in the car. He wants to talk about Brady. So before I get to Eli, let me get back to Brady. Let's get to Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Brian, full disclosure, I'm a New Yorker coming back from Boston to New York and love talking about Tom Brady, appreciate all he's done for football. And the buzz in New York, especially amongst Jet fans, is that Brady is going to jump to Carolina. And the reason we say that is because David Tepper is going to throw the money at him. He's going to stay close enough to Boston where it's not terribly far away. He'll play for Carolina. And Belichick is going to say, hey, you know what? Hey, look, you know, he did the right thing. He moved along. We're going to do our best in 2020. And the belief is amongst a lot of New York Jet fans is that the Patriots are basically going to tank for Trevor Lawrence in next year's draft. And I would love to see when Clemson comes to BC on October 2nd, where does Trevor Lawrence do that weekend? Because if he's being schmoozed by the Patriots that weekend, I can bet you dollars to donuts that Belichick is going to be all over and so will Kraft trying to get Trevor Lawrence into the Patriots uniform.
All right, Eddie.
Eddie,
I appreciate the phone call. That's a lot of conspiracy theory in one call there. And his line's open at 617-779-7937. So, first of all, he thinks the Patriots are tanking next year for Trevor Lawrence. That would mean that the Patriots would have to be the worst team in the NFL because you realize Trevor Lawrence is going with the number one overall pick. In fact, there's some that would argue if he was in this draft, he'd be the number one overall pick. So they're not going to get the number one pick next year. Even if Tom Brady's not the quarterback, they're not going to be the worst team in the NFL with Bill Belichick as the head coach. That's just not going to happen. And so to the other theory that he has, Brady's going to Carolina because David Tepper has all this money. I get it. David Tepper has a lot of money. But all these other teams in the NFL can offer Tom Brady big money as well. I think Tom Brady's going to Carolina to play for the Panthers. And look, I'm not saying that they have a terrible roster. Christian McCaffrey's obviously a stud, but Brady's going to Carolina? That just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. I get the Raiders, right? Going to Vegas, new team. You can get the contract from Mark Davis, and you got John Gruden there, and you have all this salary cap space, and you can build your brand in Vegas. Like, that makes sense to me. The Chargers make sense to me because it's in Los Angeles. But Carolina, that doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. That just seems odd that Tom Brady would even contemplate going to the Carolina Panthers. That's just, that team's not that good. First of all, their best defensive player, Luke Kuechly, just retired. Their defense is not going to be good. It wasn't good this year. It's going to get worse next year. And who exactly is he throwing the ball to there? DJ Moore is decent. Look, outside of Edelman, the Patriots had nothing. So DJ Moore is like a decent player. But other than that, it's not exactly like they have a lot of weapons there. All right, so the other thing, getting back to the Eli Manning stuff. So Eli Manning, the whole conversation this week about Eli. Oh, is he a Hall of Famer or not? The guy's 117 and 117. Now, I do want to say this. Eli Manning, my thought is that he will get into the Hall of Fame. And the reason I say that I believe he will get into the Hall of Fame is very simple. His last name's Manning. Okay, if his name was Eli Smith, we'd be having a totally different conversation about whether or not Eli Manning's in the Hall of Fame or not. But I do believe ultimately the voters will put him in. I just quite frankly don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. If you were never really a top five player in the NFL, I don't know how you get into the Hall of Fame, top five of your position. Eli Manning's been to four Pro Bowls, and in two of those Pro Bowls, two of them, Eli Manning was an injury replacement. So only two times did he even make the Pro Bowl, and that's just one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFC. When has Eli Manning ever consistently had this run where he's been considered to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? The answer to that question is he's never had that run. Okay, so the thing that does aggravate me about this, because I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer, even though he's going to get in. I'm telling you he's going to get in. But the thing that I would point to is this. What aggravates me is basically the reason Eli Manning's going to get into the Hall of Fame is because he beat the Patriots twice. That's the reason he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. And I look at that first Super Bowl. He barely did anything in the 2007 Super Bowl. I guess technically played in 2008. Barely did anything. The numbers are horrible. He did next to nothing. He had a helmet catch from David Tyree. But if I'm a former member of the Giants, if I'm Michael Strahan, who had a sack in the game, if I'm Justin Tuck, who had a sack in the game, if I'm Osi Umenyiora, Eli Manning gets like all this credit for that Super Bowl as if he's the reason they won the game. The reason they won the game is the Giants' defensive line completely dominated and manhandled the Patriots' offensive line. It wasn't Eli Manning. Okay, he had a miracle throw. Congratulations. Now, Eli was good in that second Super Bowl, if you will. He was good in the game that they played the Patriots the second time. Remember the Mario Manningham play? He actually had a good game, and he had a really good run in 2011. Remember that year, he actually beat Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field when Aaron Rodgers was the MVP of the NFL and when Aaron Rodgers had put up a 15-1 record that season. So that was an impressive run by Eli, no doubt about it. But basically, he gets all this credit for the 2007 Super Bowl when he did next to nothing in that game. David Tyree is the one that made the play. So the thing that aggravates me is the reason Eli Manning's getting into the Hall of Fame is because he beat the Patriots twice. That is essentially the reason that Eli Manning's getting into the Hall of Fame, and that aggravates me. The Patriots are the reason this guy's getting into the Hall of Fame. Jeez, unbelievable. Let's get to Chris. He's in Wellesley. What's up, Chris?
Good evening. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. Hey, I agree with you on every single point on the Eli Manning Hall of Fame piece that you just mentioned. That's not why I'm calling, but you are dead on with every single piece. 500, you know, regular season record, nothing spectacular. Led the league twice in interceptions in a season. Just nothing there Hall of Fame worthy. But speaking of the Giants, and I'm surprised more local folks aren't talking about this, Tom Brady to the New York Giants next season. Here's a couple of reasons why. Giselle wants to be in Connecticut, closer to New York. We know that. Tom Brady's a big fan of their new head coach from his time here in New England. It's an NFC team, and it's a division that's horrible, and a mediocre record will get you into the postseason. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Chris, they just drafted a quarterback, though, Daniel Jones.
Yes, they did. So who better to mentor him for the next year or two, because Daniel Jones did not have a great season this year coming off the bench.
Hold on, Chris. Now you're going to take the guy that you drafted in the first round of the draft. You're going to put him on the bench for a 43-year-old quarterback.
Correct. With a winning record that wins Super Bowls and takes teams to his playoffs. Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I was the Giants. I appreciate the phone call, Chris. If I'm the Giants, I wouldn't do that. And quite frankly, from a pure football standpoint, I don't understand why a team would give Brady a three-year contract. I really don't. Because we have, first of all, no evidence of a quarterback ever being good at 43, 44, 45. And Brady's entering his 43-year-old season. We have no evidence that any quarterback's been good at that age. And I understand you can say, well, Brady continues to push away Father Time because of all the success he's having at an advanced age. But remember, Brady's numbers dipped off this year. So if I'm the New York Giants, and I'm not the biggest fan of Daniel Jones, I'll say that. I don't think the guy's a great player. He's very turnover prone, and I get you can say that about a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFL. But Daniel Jones, and I understand that he did not have a great season with the Giants, but if I'm the Giants and I'm Dave Gettleman is somebody, as the Giants executive, GM of the team, he is keeping his job, and they just fired the head coach, who he just hired 2 years ago in Pat Shurmur. So what Dave Gettleman needs in order for him to keep his job and in order for him to stay there long term, he needs Daniel Jones to pop as a quarterback. That's the thing with the Giants. He needs Daniel Jones to play well. The Giants right now, and by the way, they hired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator. Good luck with that one. The guy was supposed to be this great offensive mind, and then they stopped having him call plays in Dallas. How good could he possibly be? But anyway, getting back to the Giants point and getting back to the Brady angle on this, I don't understand from a football standpoint why some of these NFL teams would be offering Brady a three-year contract through his 45-year-old season. But the thing that I guess we get basically locked in on here is we're thinking Super Bowl or bust. When you look at some of these other organizations around the league, that's not all they're thinking about, right? So when you look at a team like the Raiders, when you look at a team like the Chargers, first of all, they're looking at selling tickets. They're looking at selling seats. They're looking at bringing intrigue to the team. Same thing with the Raiders. Even though the Raiders are doing great in terms of their revenue and selling tickets as they make the move to Vegas, that's going to be a big storyline. And the Raiders are obviously, they're a national brand. So the Raiders are going to be able to make money. But the point being, if you bring Tom Brady there, it's an even bigger storyline because of Brady's greatness and the fact that he's considered to be the biggest star, quite frankly, in the history of the sport. So there's that angle. So when we look at it, it's as if we're looking Super Bowl or bust. And with Belichick, we've always been accustomed to looking to the future of the team, too. That's why Belichick, so many years in the past, we've said he gets rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late, right? So we're looking at the contract. Well, is Brady going to be good when he's 44, 45? These other teams aren't looking at it that way. They're looking at it as, oh, I can get Tom Brady, right? Because they're looking at it as a business aspect. The Raiders have never really been Super Bowl contenders in recent history. You'd have to go back to the early 2000s with John Gruden when he was originally there with Rich Gannon. The Chargers had a nice run with Phillip Rivers where they were competitive. They got the number one seed a couple of years. 2006, remember the Patriots famously went into San Diego and beat them. But for the most part, the Chargers have been an irrelevant franchise. And right now, they're more irrelevant than they've ever been. If you look at the fact that right now the Chargers, they're in a position where they're moving to Los Angeles, or I should say they've already moved to Los Angeles. They have no fan base whatsoever. They're the second NFL team there. And you have all these college teams, and it's not like anybody's latching on to the Chargers. There were reports this year that Phillip Rivers was using a silent snap count at home because basically the teams that were going in there were louder, their fan bases were, than the Chargers fan base, and they had more fans at the game than did the Chargers. The Chargers couldn't fill out a soccer stadium, right? So if you're the Chargers, you have to think about this from a business perspective and say, hey, if we get Tom Brady, maybe that can create some intrigue for us going forward. But if I'm Brady, I look at it and I understand that Mark Davis has been a fool as an owner at times, and that may be putting it lightly. That may be a little bit of an understatement. But if I look at the Raiders right now and I look at their situation, I understand the personnel that you have with the Chargers when you're looking at guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and the defense, you get some stars, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. But if I look at the Raiders right now, and if I'm Brady, I know that I can get a three-year contract, or at least my assumption is I can get a three-year contract out of Mark Davis because we know this guy is obsessed with stars. We saw the contract he gave to John Gruden just to create a buzz. Nobody knew if John Gruden was going to be a good coach anymore, and we, quite frankly, don't know if John Gruden is still a good NFL head coach, right? But because the Raiders fans loved John Gruden, Mark Davis went out there and he gave him a 10-year contract worth $100 million. So Brady knows that Mark Davis and Brady's representatives know that Mark Davis is desperate for stars, and he's the biggest star in the sport. So if you look at it from Brady's angle, he knows he can get that three-year contract, that extension from Mark Davis, and you look at the team that they have. Now, the defense needs some work, and if you look at the offense, there's some pieces there. You look at a guy like Darren Waller, who's really emerged as a tight end. Hunter Renfrow, as a rookie receiver, put up some decent numbers. He came on in the latter portion of the season. But the other thing they have to work with is a lot of salary cap room. And it could be interesting for players around the league where if you're a free agent, if you're A.J. Green, if you're Hunter Henry, if you're Austin Hooper, if they don't get signed by their teams right now and they become legitimate unrestricted free agents and they enter conversations with other teams, the Raiders, if they get Tom Brady, that could be a selling point, not to mention the fact that, hey, we're going to be the first team to play in Vegas. Like, that's pretty cool. If I'm an NFL free agent and I get a lot of money to go to a certain team and I get to play with Tom Brady and I'm playing, and I get they haven't been great over the past decade or so, but I get to play for one of the biggest brands in the NFL, that would be awfully intriguing to me if I'm an NFL free agent. So that's why I believe that the Raiders are more intriguing than the Chargers, because I don't even know. And I get it that Brady's got this big following, if you will, and he's the most one of the most popular players in the league. But I don't even know if Brady can make the Chargers that relevant. I really don't. Nobody cares about the Chargers. So I don't know if Brady can even make them relevant. Now, the one thing I would caution Brady about is if he does take his talents to the AFC West, that's an awfully tough thing to overcome. Because for all these years, Brady, and I understand that they had to do it, they had to win the division, but Brady's had it relatively easy in this division. If you look at the teams, the Dolphins have been a dumpster fire for years. Who knows? Maybe Brian Flores is here to turn it around now. Maybe he gets things fixed up. But again, you don't know who the future quarterback's going to be there. Maybe they draft Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. You don't have a quarterback set up. And you've had so many coaches that were there and were fired. Adam Gase, Joe Philbin. Over the years, they've just been a dumpster fire. You look at the New York Jets. Adam Gase was a failure in Miami. They brought him in there. He looks like he's going to be a failure in New York. And you think about it, Rex Ryan had a little bit of a run. Todd Bowles wasn't successful. That's been a joke of an organization. You look at Buffalo, until now with Sean McDermott, where it looks like they're on to something there. They got a good team there in terms of the defense. The one question you have, which is obviously a big question, is Josh Allen, who played one of the worst games I've ever seen against the Houston Texans in the postseason. At one point, he's just lateraling the ball. No idea what he's doing whatsoever in that particular game against the Texans. But the overwhelming point is we've had in this division, when you look at it from a Patriots angle, three of the most dysfunctional teams in the NFL in the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. And again, maybe the Bills are onto something, and maybe the Dolphins are onto something now. But if Brady is to go to that division, the AFC West, you have one big, massive issue if you're Tom Brady. You have the guy right now that's the best quarterback in the NFL in Pat Mahomes. The guy that you know firsthand threw 50 touchdown passes last year. And if you lose that coin flip in the AFC Championship game, in all likelihood, Pat Mahomes already has a Super Bowl. This year, it looks like in the playoffs, he's taken his game to a completely different level. So if you're Tom Brady, the point would be, okay, I'm going to leave Belichick. I'm going to get an extension. I want to have a high level of success. Is the AFC West the best division to do it in? Because Pat Mahomes is still going to be throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill next year. He's still going to be throwing the ball to Travis Kelce. And we'll see what happens with Sammy Watkins' contract, because that's a big, big number. But nonetheless, Mecole Hardman, a good player as well. Andy Reid, an outstanding offensive play caller. If you're Tom Brady, do you want to go up against that guy twice a year? Because to me, that doesn't seem like a very advantageous division to actually win, or an advantageous decision to go to that division if you're trying to win at a high level. Now, I know Brady's going to have the ultimate confidence and all that, and he's going to believe that he can win no matter where he goes. I just find it awfully difficult that if you go to the AFC West, no matter if it's the Chargers or the Raiders, I find it awfully, awfully difficult to foresee Brady winning that division, especially considering that Pat Mahomes is going to be there. Right now, I don't see anybody dethroning that team. So that would be the one difficult portion of this if you're Tom Brady, is going to that division and having to overcome what has become the best offense in the NFL. So these next couple of coming weeks are going to be absolutely fascinating to see where Brady's at and where the Patriots actually pivot. Because the issue for the Patriots is they've had the guy in the past they thought was going to be the successor to Tom Brady in Jimmy Garoppolo. Now that guy is playing for the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. So that element of all this is now out of the equation, where you felt like you had, all right, let's turn it over to this guy. The problem for Bill Belichick, unlike what happened in different places, like, for example, the Green Bay Packers, is Brett Favre started to show that he was slowing down a little bit. Now, in 2009, after 1 year with the Jets, he got it together in Minnesota and went all the way to the NFC Championship game. But the issue for Belichick was he wanted to turn the keys over to Jimmy Garoppolo, but Brady basically just did something that we've never seen in NFL history, where you drafted his replacement when he was 34 years old, and Brady's now lasted until his 42-year-old season. So the problem for Bill Belichick is Brady was so good, and for the last decade, he was the best quarterback in the sport, that you couldn't realistically turn the keys over to Jimmy Garoppolo. Belichick would have, but Robert Kraft said, no, we're not getting rid of this guy. And since then, Brady, of course, went to the Super Bowl in 17, and then in 18, he won the Super Bowl in 17. Of course, he set the record with over 500 passing yards. They never punted, and they still lost the football game. So that's where I'm at with the Brady conversation here in terms of where he's going to go and where he could go. I still believe that he is going to leave because I don't see Bill Belichick actually giving him the extension that ultimately he wants. And here's the issue for the Patriots is I feel like if Robert Kraft was going to basically overrule Bill Belichick again, he would have already done it, right? Because if you think about it, obviously Belichick was upset about the fact that he had to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo because he felt like he had the quarterback after Tom Brady. So Belichick was upset about that, and he probably had a conversation with Kraft. Hey, please do not do that again. And it probably wasn't in those kind words. But now this time, you have to look at it from Kraft's perspective. Who's more important to the organization long term? Is it Tom Brady or is it Bill Belichick? It's obviously Belichick because he can still coach for another 10 years. And Brady could possibly drop off next year or at the very least the season after that. So if you're Robert Kraft from a business perspective, you have to side with Belichick in this argument. And if you were Kraft and Brady asked for that contract 2 years ago, and then he asked for the contract last year, and you didn't step in and overrule Belichick, what tells you that Kraft's going to step in this time and actually stop Brady from going to a different team? I just don't believe that Kraft's going to overrule Belichick again. All right, if you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady conversation, certainly welcome to do so. What do you think he'll do this offseason? What do you want him to do? Should Bill Belichick actually pay him and give him that three-year extension? Also want to get into the Mookie Betts thing. And if you want to weigh in on Eli Manning, is he a Hall of Famer or not? Certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 90 minutes or so. The number is 617-779-7937. So the Brady stuff on the table. Do you think Brady's actually going to leave for a different team, or do you think ultimately the Patriots are going to keep Brady? Also, Eli Manning Hall of Famer or not, that's on the table. And if you want to weigh in on the Mookie Betts situation, as the latest report is the Padres were in negotiations with the Red Sox or in talks about a possible deal. Now, it was reported from The Athletic that it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But if you want to weigh in on where the Red Sox are at right now and whether or not they should trade Mookie Betts, certainly welcome to do so. The number 617-779-7937. Let's get to Gary. He's in a car. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Brian. How you doing, bud?
Good, good.
So I'm a season ticket holder, 26 years, and I'm going to tell you that even talking about this is hard to see, to even talk about Brady in another uniform. So I hope that he can stay as a Patriot because we all forget how close we were to being the number two seed, and you know, and having Kansas City not having a home field advantage, because it would have been a different story had Harry's touchdown been called a touchdown. That whole scope of the game would have changed. Or if the Patriots decided that they should have showed up against the Dolphins in the last game, you know, things could have changed very easily for this team. Now, when you look at
Gary, hold on one sec. The one thing about that game, though, is that Miami game at the end of the season, so many un-Patriot things. First of all, Gilmore got beat like a drum by Devontae Parker, and before that, like, nobody was beating him all season. And the other thing that really pissed me off about a game that you needed to win to make sure you got the bye in the postseason was the fact that at the end of the half, Belichick has Brady kneel the ball. How many times have we seen that? You think Brady's going to go for it, try to put up some points before the half, because they love doing that thing where they double up the opponent's score at the end of the half and then coming out of the half, and they kneel on the ball? That was just sickening to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was losing my mind when they did that. And, when you look at it, it obviously wasn't meant to be. And it's, you know, they've been in so many amazing, amazing run, and hopefully they can revamp again and continue. But when we talk about Brady going to another team, and I did this on the ride home when they lost the playoff game, I was with my daughter, we're driving back, and we're going through every scenario. And I talked about Chargers, talked about the Raiders, but neither one of those teams, he's not going there. And there's a lot of reasons why. One, there's no connection from a coach or a player standpoint to either one of those teams.
So, Gary, you think the only teams he would go to is somebody that he had a previous relationship with, like, say, Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, or somebody in a front office? That's the only way he'd go to a different team?
I think that has a lot to do with it. And I also think that his wife being, what she does with in the modeling, I don't think that it's – and I understand they lived in L.A. They're not going to L.A. or going back there to be a prop or that type of, a quarterback that's going to be, not giving them a chance to – he wants to win Super Bowls. He's not there to be, he wants to be a face of the franchise, but he's not going to be like a prop and a big, someone to go do promotional stuff.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So you think the Chargers, it'd be more about from their perspective is like, hey, we're trying to get Brady to sell tickets, and Brady would be basically irritated that he wants it to be more about winning.
Yes. And then I look at the Raiders and having a family – I have a family of five. I don't want to bring my kids up in Vegas. which is why I live here. And then when you look at the other areas, I think you bring up a great point with Tennessee with Vrabel, because Tannehill did nothing in the playoffs. He was serviceable in some of those throws. He did nothing in the playoffs, and so if they don't stay with Tannehill, I think that could be a viable solution for him. I think the Chicago Bears is definitely viable because it's a Trubisky factor, and it's a metropolitan city, and I think that, that Giselle could live in somewhere like that. And then Miami, with all the money they have and having Flores down there, I know Chad O'Shea got, moved on, or he's not going to be there anymore as their OC, but, they still have that connection with Flores and all the money that they could spend, and obviously Miami is a mecca for modeling and that whole industry. And, I hope that the sides all realize how close they were to getting back to a Super Bowl, and that Brady stays, because they were really close. Even though, we all talked about it, but they did have a championship defense. Although, once Chung went down in that playoff game, they just can't. I don't know why they have such trouble with covering the middle of the field consistently. When you look at going back to the Atlanta Super Bowl with Hooper catching a touchdown on Chung, you go and look at Ertz, catching balls all over him with Philly, and then Tennessee catching big, passes with against Brooks, when Chung went down. I mean, I think they could get some guys that could cover the middle of the field with tight ends and some of these guys that can move, and then get a tight end on our side. I think we could be right there, and let's get Brady back, man. Let's forget about having him on another uniform.
Yeah, fair point, Gary, and I appreciate the phone call. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. All right, so first let me get to the latter point that he had about the Patriots' defense. So the reason they can't cover tight ends and the reason they can't cover running backs out of the backfield is because Hightower's slow at this point, and because Kyle Van Noy is not good in coverage. That's the reality of the situation. That's why they don't match up well against running backs that can catch the ball and against premier tight ends of the NFL, because those guys are slow. They don't have the personnel to be able to do that. And secondarily, and this is kind of a side note to what he was saying, you know what really pissed me off about the defense this year is how brash they were. They were talking about being this historic defense. You had nicknames for the team. Stephon Gilmore at the end of the season talking about he's the defensive player of the year. I never remember Tom Brady back in the day saying I'm the MVP of the NFL. Tom Brady never did that. But yet Stephon Gilmore is talking about how he should be the defensive player of the year. And then you have the boogeymen. Remember that's what the linebackers came up with? They were selling sweatshirts, the boogeymen. Okay, the boogeymen didn't beat one good offense in the NFL. What happened against the Chiefs? What happened against the Baltimore Ravens? You got lit up by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins. And if you look at the game against the Tennessee Titans in the postseason, and you could say, hey, well, they didn't score that much. Well, Derrick Henry also ran the ball down your throat. That's kind of a manhood thing, right? You don't want a team just running you over. And I believe it was the right game plan by Bill Belichick. You rather get beat in the running game than the passing game, because what made Tennessee dangerous this year was that play-action pass game, and Tannehill basically did nothing. But they couldn't get off the field against Derrick Henry whatsoever. To the point about Chicago, where could Brady actually consider going to the Bears, the thing that I would like about that is it's a premier franchise, so to speak, a historic franchise. Not that they've been good lately, but it's a historic franchise, obviously. But the thing about that is they only have about $6 million in salary cap space. And really, at this point, they're kind of in on Trubisky, which is sad. If I'm the Bears, I would have already moved on from Trubisky. That guy sucks. Imagine trading up to the second overall pick from the third pick to get Trubisky and taking him over Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. That's an absolute disaster. So I don't see Brady going to Chicago because, look, he's looking for money. He's looking for an extension, and that's something that the Bears, and I get you can move things around, but right now the Bears don't have the salary cap space to be able to bring in a guy like Tom Brady. And the other one, I think he mentioned Miami. Brady's got a 7-11 record in Miami in his NFL career playing in Miami. Obviously, he's got a plus 500 record against the Dolphins in general. But Miami's been one of the places. Miami, Denver, those have been the places where Brady hasn't been too successful in his NFL career. And the other thing about, I get the connection to Brian Flores. I never understood why they fired Chad O'Shea. I believe Chad O'Shea's game plan against the Patriots in Week 17 was great. So maybe there was more to that story, but I was surprised by that. The other part of that is Miami. Do you believe that's a team that's ready to win now? I get they beat the Patriots in the final week of the season, and I really like Devontae Parker. Obviously, he tore apart Stephon Gilmore in that game, but they don't have a lot of talent on the defensive side of the football. And outside of Devontae Parker offensively, what do they really have? I just believe that if Brady's going to a place, he's going to a place where he believes either A, they're ready to win right now, or B, once he goes there and they have free agency, that they're going to be able to acquire the talent to win at a high level. I don't see Miami being that team. The one connection, Stephen Ross, a Michigan guy like Brady. That's the one connection. But other than that, I don't see much of a reason for Brady to contemplate going to Miami. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's go to Brian. He's in New London. What's up, Brian?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, Brian?
I think Brady's going to stay with the Patriots, and he's going to usher in the era of the relief quarterback because they have a tough schedule next year. Real tough schedule. He's going to be working with another quarterback, probably Stidham. And the likelihood of him getting hurt is just going up with age.
Well, Brian, hold on a second. Schedule. I got to get back to your original point. What the hell is the age of the relief quarterback? What do you mean?
Start sharing duties as a quarterback.
So you think that Brady's going to come back to the Patriots and split time with Stidham?
Split sometime. Sometime. Why not?
It just seems like an idiotic
idea. Older. I wouldn't characterize it as idiotic.
So you think this
is getting older?
You think this is college football where like Kevin Sumlin back in the day at A&M is going between Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen? He's just switching quarterbacks on series.
Well,
and you think Brian? You think also? You think Brady's going to be okay with saying, "Yeah, Bill, that seems like a good game plan. Josh, that seems like a good game plan. I'll go for the first three series, then we'll bring in Stidham for two series."
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of pushing his luck. You know, so many times Brady's been in a game when they're ahead by two touchdowns, three touchdowns, and they keep him in there the last 5-6 minutes. So that's more of the
that's a totally different conversation. I appreciate the phone call. His line's open at 617-779-7937. That's a different conversation. We've said this for years. I shouldn't say we, but I've been on this side of the fence for years. I never understand why they're up 21 points late in the fourth quarter and Brady's still in the game. I feel like the only thing that can happen in that particular scenario is something bad, meaning Brady getting some sort of injury. And luckily, throughout this decade, it hasn't happened to Brady. And the one injury he suffered back in the 2008 season, that was in the competitive portion of the football game. But for the most part, Brady is, outside of that injury, has avoided injuries and he's avoided catastrophe at the end of games. I'm surprised that he hasn't taken more cheap shots at the end of games when the Patriots are up 4 touchdowns or 3 touchdowns. And for whatever reason, he still happens to be in the football game. But that's a totally different conversation, taking Brady out a little early. You're never going to be in a position in the NFL where you're splitting series with quarterbacks. Now, every once in a while, you may do this thing like, for example, the Saints do with Taysom Hill. They bring him in because he can run the ball. He can do all this different type of stuff that Drew Brees can't do. So every once in a while, you're going to do crap like that. Or like, for example, the Tennessee Titans. We saw it against the Patriots, and they did it last week against the Chiefs as well. Every once in a while, they'll bring in Marcus Mariota to get a snap or two. So you'll see that. But if you look at it from the Patriots angle, with a guy like Jarrett Stidham, and I understand he's more athletic than Tom Brady, obviously, but for the most part, he does all the same things that Brady does. He's more of a pocket passer. Now, he can run a little bit, but it's not as if you're going to be designing an offense like we see in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson or back in the day with Robert Griffin III. He's not that type of athlete. You're not building around him being able to run the football, essentially. That's not what you're doing with Jarrett Stidham. So I don't understand what would be the reason for bringing Jarrett Stidham into certain portions of the football game. It just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. And there's no way that that would be a selling point to Brady. Oh, yeah. Hey, Tom, come back and you can split the role with Jarrett Stidham. Oh, yeah. Yeah, guys, I'm good. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Will in Rhode Island. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up? Quick thing before, I just want to say I love the show. You're probably one of my favorite guys to listen to.
I listen
to the show when I'm working. I deliver pizzas, and it's like I'm not really working because I love just listening to you guys. But anyways, we keep talking about how we need new players to surround Brady, and I'm not hearing, like, any names. I mean, I know that Amari Cooper is a free agent this year, but, I mean, I don't really see him not re-signing with the Cowboys after this season. Honestly. So do you have anyone in mind that the Patriots should go after?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Appreciate the phone call, Will. So, and thanks for the kind words as well. Amari Cooper, in all likelihood, he ends up back in Dallas. If they don't get a contract done, then they'll just franchise the guy. It'd be nice to get a player like that, but they're just going to franchise him or give him a long-term contract extension. We've seen how Jerry does his contracts. Like, it took forever to give the extension to Ezekiel Elliott, then he eventually got it. So I don't see him leaving Dallas, especially considering what Dallas gave up for the guy. They gave up a first-round draft pick. But the other guys, the big-name guys that are going to be out there, A.J. Green, who I guess coming off a foot injury, but in the latter portion of his career, he's 31 now, he may be open to changing teams from the Bengals to a team that's actually competitive, and that would make a lot of sense from the Patriots because they need a number one receiver. They have a great slot receiver in Julian Edelman. They don't have a bona fide stud on the outside. N'Keal Harry hasn't been that guy yet, so that would be a nice addition to the Patriots. And you look at some of the tight ends, Hunter Henry, if the Chargers don't keep him, that would be an interesting get for the Patriots. Austin Hooper, the tight end from the Atlanta Falcons, that guy's a pretty good player. So it's those type of guys. It isn't a big list of free agent receivers. Maybe you bring Danny Amendola back, but I don't believe that Bill Belichick would want to do that. And I don't know if Danny Amendola would want to do that. Remember, he had some interesting comments when he left the Patriots. And then the other part of the Danny Amendola equation is every year he was like taking less money. You think he's going to be open to coming back to the Patriots? I just don't see that happening. So it's guys like A.J. Green, Austin Hooper, Hunter Henry, those type of guys that the Patriots could be targeting, maybe even an Eric Ebron, although Eric Ebron had one good season. Other than that, he has not lived up to his draft selection, if you will, or his draft slot. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady or what the Patriots should do this offseason, certainly welcome to do so. Plus, Mookie Betts, the latest report with him, the Padres and Red Sox could have talks or further talks about him possibly becoming a member of the Padres. I don't see it happening. We'll get into all that. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Because sleep is for losers. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm not trying to sit up here and say that Tom Brady shouldn't care. What I am saying is this. Tom Brady should sit back and wait to see what the Patriots do. Don't do them any more favors. You've done enough favors for them over the years. Now sit back and let them take the first step. Rather than them asking you what do you want to do, they should sit up there and tell you what they want to do. And by virtue of what they tell you should play a role in dictating or impacting your decision. In other words, Max, it's like this. If I'm the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, we love you, we value you, we appreciate you. Here's what we want to offer you. These are the amount of dollars. These are the amount of years. What are you going to do? And then Tom Brady makes a decision. As opposed to sitting back and letting Tom Brady tell them, okay, I want to stay, but then they've got to figure out how to compensate him, how to appease him, or anything like that.
All right, I'm a fan of Stephen A. Smith, but that is an absolutely idiotic take. Brian Barrett with you. The number is 617-779-7937. I understand what he's saying. If you were just a normal free agent, or if you were a big-time free agent with a normal organization, that would be fine. But Stephen A. Smith understands that he's dealing with Bill Belichick, right? So you think Bill Belichick's just going to go to Tom Brady and say, hey, Tom, this is what I'm offering you. I'm offering you this, that, and the other. I'm going to offer you the moon. No, Belichick is ready, if he needs to move on from Tom Brady. He'll come up with some sort of contingency plan. So you think Bill Belichick is going to bend over backwards to make sure that Tom Brady gets exactly what he wants? Does Stephen A. Smith understand how Bill Belichick operates? He'll get rid of players. He doesn't care. This guy got rid of Randy Moss. This guy got rid of Ty Law. If it was up to him, he would have already gotten rid of Tom Brady. So you think that Bill Belichick's going to be like recruiting Tom Brady to remain a member of the Patriots? I'm sorry, Brady's going to have to go to the Patriots and ask for what he wants. That's the bottom line. And either Belichick's going to say yes or no, but it's not going to be Belichick coming to Brady and trying to recruit him to stay. That's just not how it's going to happen. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you until 8 o'clock. Let's get to Andy in Maine. What's up, Andy?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
What do you think about Tom Brady going to the Buffalo Bills?
To the Bills? I don't see it, Andy. What makes you think that he would consider Buffalo?
I mean, he could mentor Josh Allen and maybe get him a championship.
Yeah, I don't understand this whole mentor thing, and I appreciate the phone call, but if you look at it from Buffalo's perspective, and I'm not saying they're right for believing in him, but they believe that Josh Allen's the future of their organization. They drafted him with, what, the 8th overall selection? They drafted him, remember, before Lamar Jackson. So they have high hopes for Josh Allen. I believe they're just going to go in the direction and continuing to develop Josh Allen, hope he turns out to be a franchise-caliber quarterback, because then if you bring in Brady, then you're basically halting the development of the player, and then you're pushing off the future of the organization for the now and hoping Tom Brady is the quarterback that he was 2 years ago rather than the quarterback that he was last year. Let's get to Ralph. He's in Cranston. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Brian. First of all, Stephen A. Smith, one thing, he's really a nice guy, but one thing he's not keeping in mind is this is not your average athlete. This man probably makes $100 million a year away from the sport. This is about ego. I think he didn't retire last year because about ego. He just, Michael Jordan had a hard time walking away from the limelight too a little bit. But, this is going to be different. And I think the New England Patriots know they owe him almost $14 million, even if he walks away. And I'm sure that's going to be big in their thinking. But, the Super Bowl, Brian, we're talking about quarterbacks. Keep in mind that Garoppolo for 2 years studied under Belichick and Brady. And he's a winner. I know he doesn't have the Mahomes glaring stats, but this guy shows you that he's more of a Brady-type quarterback. He's a good, so, Brady was nowhere that said, wow, he's got a cannon for an arm. Oh, my God, look at this. Brady learned how to be a quarterback by those short passes, those slant stuff. And he's a thinker. And that's why anyone who's going to not think that Garoppolo, to me, look, if I was going to pick one of the two quarterbacks, I think the one who's more mature and ready for this whole thing is Garoppolo more than Mahomes.
Whoa, hold on a second. So you would take for the Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo over Pat Mahomes?
It depends on who's around them, with who's around San Francisco.
I don't care who's around Pat Mahomes. He's like LeBron James of the NFL.
But he's perfect for that offense. And let's face it, their defense
is perfect for any offense. Have you seen the guy play?
Yeah, no, I know. But what people are starting to say, you know, as we go along, you're going to see most people come out and say they don't like Kansas City. That's just an opinion. You know, I kind of like San Francisco because of him. I'm saying he doesn't have the glaring stats. He's
no, look, that's fair. Ralph, if you think San Francisco is going to win the game, that's fair. But I just disagree with your point for why they're going to win. I don't see Jimmy Garoppolo being the reason. I see the defense maybe has this outstanding performance and they continue to run the ball. But I believe if they get in a shootout and they need Jimmy Garoppolo to win the game and go throw for throw with Pat Mahomes, I don't think he has the capability of doing things. And
but
you made the comparison.
Not a game, though,
yeah,
Brian.
But Ralph, hold on, Ralph. One more thing, Ralph. You made the comparison to Tom Brady. The one thing that Tom Brady never did, he was never a turnover prone quarterback. And that's what Jimmy G is. He has a propensity to throw the ball to linebackers. He does not see linebackers.
Well, Tom Brady couldn't do that because he had Belichick, who wouldn't do it. I mean, we've seen people go in. Stidham last year, 2-1 interception, bang, he's out of the game, even with 2 minutes to go. So you can't
that was priceless.
Belichick. That's one of the reasons, too, that you can't. There's certain things with Belichick you cannot do. You make a bad pass, he pulls you. So, you don't get a second chance with him. Or, you know, and I don't very much value and respect your opinion, Brian. But what I'm saying is that this guy, I think, mentally is ready for this challenge. I think if they lose, it could be, and they could get in a shootout, but I don't think it's going to happen. Look, if I had to pick one of the two who's not physically ready, but I mean the maturity, especially because he was under Belichick and Brady for 2 years, I like Garoppolo. That's why, you know, including the defense, I like San Francisco in this game. One game, just one game, yeah. I like San Francisco.
Well, here's the thing, and I appreciate the phone call, Ralph. What tells you that Pat Mahomes isn't ready for this game? This dude fell behind 24-0 in the AFC divisional round, came back and won. In the AFC championship game, he fell behind by 10 points and he came back and he won relatively easily in both those games. Last year, he won his first playoff game, and then his second playoff game, his team was facing adversity, down against the Patriots at halftime, and he puts up 31 points on Bill Belichick's defense in the second half of the football game, and if he wins the coin flip, he's going to the Super Bowl. So I have seen nothing in Pat Mahomes' game whatsoever that tells me he's not going to be ready for the moment. I have significantly more questions about Jimmy Garoppolo being ready for the moment. He was bad against Minnesota, and basically the last game, you can't really even judge him. He didn't do anything, but I don't know how, at this point, you say that Garoppolo's more ready for the moment than is Pat Mahomes, just because he was the backup quarterback for the Patriots when they won a Super Bowl. I don't really follow that train of logic. I look at the guy that's performed better on the bigger stage, and that guy's been Pat Mahomes. Let's get to Mike. He's in Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Hey. On this bet thing, unless they're overwhelmed, Brian, I think you have to keep them to July and see where you're standing if you got a chance. I mean, everybody's just writing the Red Sox off. Like, if Sale comes back healthy and, you know, it's not like they don't have a chance. I mean, it's like everybody's writing them off. Do you think that they can get that kind of a deal, though, before the start of the season?
Well, you bring up some good points, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. If you want to weigh in on the Mookie Betts situation, you can, or the Tom Brady stuff. Certainly welcome to do so. And do you agree with me that Jimmy Garoppolo is completely overrated? That all on the table at 617-779-7937. But real quickly to what he's pointing out about Mookie. It feels like to me, whatever you get offered now, that deal is going to be very similar in July. And here's the other thing with the Red Sox, where you got to think about this from a PR standpoint. When you look at the Red Sox right now, think about where their offseason's at. They've had this cheating scandal that we still don't know what the end result is going to be in terms of what the punishment's going to be, if there is a punishment at all. So there is that element to this, the fact that you had to fire your manager. You fired Alex Cora. Or parted ways, I'm sorry, and we'll reserve judgment on everything, but you parted ways with Alex Cora. So do you think you could be able to, in this market, with everything that's transpired this offseason with the cheating scandal, do you think that the fan base would stomach trading Mookie Betts? Even if some of the more intelligent baseball fans understand why, would the fan base be able to stomach that? That's the question that the Red Sox have to ask themselves. Would the fans actually understand that? Because you want to be basically a team that people want to watch at the beginning of the season. And if you trade Mookie Betts, you may lose a portion of the fan base that says, hold on, we have this cheating scandal, and now you're trading away the MVP of the American League from a couple of years ago, the guy that is a star within this organization. Now you're getting rid of him. That could really ruffle up the fan base, and that could really irritate the fan base. And from my perspective on all this, considering what's happened, I don't know that the deal that you get offered in July for Mookie Betts is going to be much different than some of these deals that you're in negotiations, or I shouldn't even say in negotiations, but you've been in talks with the Padres, the Dodgers, et cetera. I don't see the deal being that much different in July than it would be at this point in time. So I don't see the organization making the move this offseason because I don't think they want to handle theoretically or potentially your best player next year. And I get last year he wasn't the best player, but 2 years ago he was losing a star player. A perennial Gold Glove winner, an MVP, one of the best players in the sport. I don't think the fan base would be able to handle the cheating scandal and that in short order. I just don't see the Red Sox making the move this offseason. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. What do you think Brady should do this offseason? What do you want the Patriots to do with Brady? Is Jimmy Garoppolo overrated, like I say? Plus, what do you want the Sox to do with Mookie Betts? All that on the table right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.